assistant foreman and students. I am delighted to deliver the first lecture that is to be delivered in this school this session. And I'm going to talk to you about that which you need to know, explaining to you the simple things of God's Word, and get you grounded as much as possible in the faith before you start to taking the lessons in the classroom. Those lessons in the classroom will be so different from what all the new students would be expecting. I believe I'll just call it a sermon instead of a lecture, for I'm a preacher, been preaching for a long time. 60 years plus is a rather long time to be an active preacher. And during that 60 years plus, I've never missed a Sunday from being in service, a record unbroken by any man in America. And I like to preach, so instead of calling it a lecture, I'll just preach a sermon. If you wish to take notes, you may do so. It'd be a pretty good idea, possibly, for you to begin, but you don't know how many of you take notes yet. But do your best at it if you want to. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and 21st verse, you will find the text. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I'm talking of the glorious church. The word church is here used in an institutional sense. There is no such thing as a universal, invisible church. A church is always a local congregation. It can be a scriptural local congregation or not a scriptural local congregation. It can be a congregation of God, of the Lord, or of the devil, or if there is a neutral ground, it can be a worldly congregation like a lodge, not of the devil, not of God in particular, like a farmer's meeting, like a mass meeting of any kind, for schools, for public interest, any kind of a congregation that has been called out and called together for a purpose is a church. May be good, may be bad, may be scriptural or unscriptural. But there is no such thing as a universal, invisible church. Never has been. The time is coming when there will be. Final wind up, and the last church member has been baptized, and we all are gathered before the Lord for the great wedding day. Then that'll be a church made up of the members of the churches all over the country, all over the world. But at present, there is no such thing as a universal, invisible church. There is no such thing as the mystic body of Christ. You learned that if you learned it from Scofield's Bible notes, not from the Word of God. I repeat, there is no such thing as the mystic body of Christ. The body of Christ is always a local congregation of baptized believers called out of the world, associated together for the Lord's work, like this Antioch Missionary Baptist Church located here in Little Rock, Arkansas, and like other similar churches. Each one is the body of Christ. But somebody will say, listen, the definite article is used. Unto him be glory in the church. The church and the body of Christ, expressions like that. That ought not to confuse anybody who studies the Bible, and I don't think it will confuse you very long if you are of that universal invisible church theory. Listen, that's some similar sentences. The jury is a legal body. The jury. What jury? The one down here in the Pulaski County Courthouse? The one in Texarkana? One in New York? Chicago? St. Louis? No. But the jury as an institution. Used in the institutional sense. Here is another sentence. The family is the cornerstone of civilization. What family? My family? Your family? Mr. Johnson's family? Mr. Smith's family? Why, no. The family as an institution. I could say the family is the cornerstone of civilization. The jury is a legal institution. The jury, not any particular jury, not a great big universal invisible jury. The family is the cornerstone of civilization, not a great big universal invisible family. Each family and every family as an institution. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, I've taken my text from the third, you'll find this expression, beginning at the 25th verse, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, and no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, be joined unto his wife. This is a great mystery, to be sure. And just before that says, husbands, love your wives. And then in the 23rd verse, it speaks of the wife in the institutional sense. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Even means exactly and so, in precisely the same way. The husband is the head of the wife. Mean by that great, big, universal wife, including all of the little wives? Why, no. I'd like to see that sister if there is such an animal. The husband is the head of the wife, definite article, just as definite, exactly like Christ is the head of the church. Well now, if you won't conclude that there is a great, big, universal, invisible wife, I don't know how a man has been married to an invisible wife, but if you don't conclude there's a great, big, universal, invisible wife, including all the little wives, why do you conclude that there's a great, big, universal church, including all the little churches? This is a common expression, and so why be confused? Now get this. If you've come here with a thought in your mind that Christ is the head of the body, mystical, unreal, invisible, something,